KCCO, 1230 AM, W255 DN, Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A new setback for SpaceX. The company's super heavy rocket Starship came apart over the Indian Ocean after launching from Texas. CBS's Josh Allen is in Dallas.
They had some propellant leaks and they lost the ability to kind of control the direction of that ship as it goes from side to side.
Officials in Gaza say one person was killed, 48 wounded when a hungry crowd was fired on after overrunning a new distribution site set up by an Israeli and U.S.-backed foundation. UNRWA's Commissioner General Philip Lazzarini.
It will deprive large part of Gaza, the highly vulnerable people, of desperately needed assistance.
Stellantis, dealing with declining car and truck sales, is getting a new leader. WWJ's Jeff Gilbert.
That new CEO, Antonio Filosa, had been running North American operations at Stellantis. He's been tasked to replace Carlos Tavares, who was ousted as Stellantis CEO last year.
CBS News Brief, Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Following another mild winter in Wisconsin, an environmental group says nearly every city they've studied has seen an increasing average summer temperature over the past 50 years. A WPR report says climate control recently released an analysis of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Since 1970, it showed an average temperature increase of over 2.5 degrees Fahrenheit in the summers. Milwaukee was among the cities the group studied, and it has seen an average summer temperature increase of nearly 3.5 degrees. And if you happen to see the governor out fixing potholes, you aren't seeing things. He's traveling the state with a shovel full of asphalt in his hands. Terry Barr explains what's behind the effort.
Governor Tony Evers using his annual pothole patrol to highlight the need for transportation funding. A Republican-controlled committee stripped millions of dollars for road and bridge projects from his proposed budget. The governor saying the cuts come after years of investment.
Over the last 6 years, my administration has improved more than 8,600 miles of road and 2,000 bridges statewide. And then fix some of those darn roads my darn self. I had to kick off my 6 pothole patrols statewide.
And along with potholes, the governor says there are more than 300 construction projects that just won't happen if the money is kept out of the budget.
And Evers is also renewing calls for the state legislature to invest in the Child Care Counts program, following the release of results from a new study into child care costs. The Wisconsin Department of Children and Families announced the results of the 2025 market rate survey last week, showing an 11% cost increase for families with kids in center-based care and a 10% increase for family-based care. Governor Evers is calling for over $480 million in child care funding in his biennial budget proposal. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
A Brewers win over Boston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers and Red Sox wrapping up their series today in Milwaukee. Last night, Christian Yelich hit a walk-off grand slam in the 10th to lead the Brewers to a 5-1 win over Boston. The inning before, Yelich scored the tying run from third. Manager Pat Murphy.
We've all seen that. I've been here with Yelich as long as I have. We've all seen that base hit out of him, that double, and then his base running to get you to third. That's why he's a great player.
NFL, the Packers OTAs continuing today without Packers defensive back Jair Alexander. A report says the Packers will take him back if he takes a pay cut. Jair's agent says he wants to stay in Green Bay, but not with a restructured deal. In golf, the U.S. Women's Open tees off tomorrow in Wisconsin. Nelly Korda on what it's like to compete at Erin Hills.
It tests every part of your game. It's very demanding. Even if you think you've hit it good, you just exhale when you see it stop.
That's golfer Nelly Korda with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be cloudy with scattered showers, maybe an isolated thunder shower this afternoon. Our high today in the upper 60s to low 70s with wind out of the east at 5 to 15. Tonight will drop to 50. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, warmer, 74 by Friday. Mostly sunny with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Did you know? VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served.
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/home loans.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by Michael Negron, former special assistant to the President for Economic Policy. We'll be talking about the impact of tariffs on small businesses and working families here in Wisconsin.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday morning, May 28th. Coming up later this hour, we're going to be talking about a coalition of groups busy at the state capitol yesterday, trying to get a message to Governor Tony Evers that the next state budget needs to be to a certain level, shall we say, and that if Republicans who run the legislature don't bring that budget to a certain level of support for education and healthcare and workers and the environment, then instead of a whole bunch of line item vetoes, maybe just trash the whole thing, veto it all, and make the lawmakers start over. So we'll talk to a couple of guests about that coming up. Then in our 8 o'clock hour, we'll be talking to Earl Ingram about the lead crisis in Milwaukee, lead paint chips in some schools, lead water pipes, and how Health and Human Services Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr. says they're on it, except that they're not. We'll talk to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media political editor, and we'll talk to James Kelly, Civic Media reporter here in Chippewa Falls, about a story out of Hayward that reminds us that during summer vacation from schools, some kids are missing out on the one good meal that they might get each day, and some of the programs that are meant to alleviate that. Melissa Kay is here as well, hanging over from WFHR, 97.5 WFHR, I should say, and 105.5 WIRI, because we spent so much time teasing her about getting a pigeon that we never asked her what is exactly happening in Wisconsin Rapids for, you know, radio and events and news and things like that. So we'll talk to her about that. But first, meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here to tell us one more day of this cloudy, cool stuff. And then things get really nice after that. Before I forget, Parker Olson is in Madison. Greg Bach is at Radio Park in Racine. And Brittany, for all of us, wherever we are in Wisconsin, a little gray out there this morning. I don't know. Is it that way statewide?
Yeah, it pretty much is. There's a little bit of spots of sunshine far northeast. Lucky you. Hang on to it while you have it, because it is going to be replaced by those clouds very, very soon. Mostly cloudy throughout the day today. We are looking at light rain already rolling into the western areas of the state, far south as well. That is going to lift north as we go through the rest of the morning and into the afternoon, and it's going to scatter out too. So on and off light rain is expected through most of the day today. We could hear some claps of thunder by this afternoon, especially into north central areas. No severe storms are expected, but of course, just some rumbles of thunder out there and some more moderate rainfall in those smaller storms. Otherwise, that all dies out later after sunset. High temperatures today will hit the mid-60s far south. We are looking at about 70 degrees far north. Then tomorrow, we're going to start a little bit of a warm-up. The sunshine will return. We will be in those upper 60s to mid-70s. And then some humidity starts to sneak in for Friday, especially into western areas of the state. Temperatures will soar to the upper 70s to near 80 degrees. We'll get a little cooler on Saturday, but the heat comes right back for Sunday. And let me tell you, those summer heat, humidity, like mid-80s, dew points in the 70s, they're going to be here next week.
All right. And now one thing that we didn't mention along with the temperatures and the conditions is the extended daytime hours. And Alicia writes in on YouTube, the downside for me with the extended sunlight is I have a very hard time falling asleep before 10 p.m. when I need to wake up for work at 2:45 a.m. I believe Greg would like to give this an amen.
I do not miss those days.
I know what you mean. I got to fall asleep now. During the sun times.
Yes.
Blackout curtains.
Yes.
He's rubbing his eyes hard in stress right now.
Yes. 2:45 a.m.
Yes. For a lot of morning radio and TV folks, you know, they get
or truck drivers.
Or truck drivers or a whole host of other things. Mm-hmm. I used to really dread going to bed, you know, when the sun was still up for these early morning shifts. And now we're just like, now it's practically a game. It's like, can we get blackout curtains dark enough? Can we close the doors enough? Can we just basically a cellar, you know,
put us in the cellar. Can I fall asleep before the sun goes down?
Because, and why? Because we're old and tired now. It's like, no, we're going to sleep and no sunshine is stopping me. Yeah, that is really how it is, which is, by the way, how we missed that Christian Yelich walk-off grand slam last night as the Brewers beat the Red Sox 5-1. Good morning from Tigerton, says Rob. Cloudy and 54 degrees. I've got some lawns to mow in Tigerton and a doctor's appointment in Shawano. Yesterday, I mowed some yards in Wittenberg, had lunch at Rachel's Roadside in Wittenberg, a bowl of spaghetti soup. What? It was very good, a must stop when you're heading toward Green Bay off Highway 29 at Highway 45, South Exit 198. Rob says, Greg, I have a CPAP machine, and it helps me sleep, and using it since 2019. We mentioned John Fogerty's birthday today and that he loves CCR. And Have You Ever Seen the Rain is his favorite song from them. And honestly, we need more rain. He says, seeing Melissa and Brittany together reminds me to buy them another drink soon. And the rest of you as well. And reminds us that he has a birthday coming up. And it's a lot different in the winter, he writes, when you have to get up at 2 a.m. in the winter to plow snow. And Alicia notes, yes, sanitation people also have to get up super early. And Shizu has the solution, blackout curtains and lavender sleep masks.
Oh, fancy. So
I like that.
I stopped listening to everything once I heard spaghetti soup, and I was very, very curious. So yes. I Googled spaghetti soup, Rachel's Roadside, and what comes up? Rob from Tigerton's post on Instagram. a lovely display. There's a cheeseburger. It looks like a hearty chili.
Ooh. Wow. The internet has come full circle. And there's no need for anything else.
And a bottle
thanks
of
to
strum,
Rob, it's all there.
And a bottle of Sundrop.
Yeah. Of course, Sundrop. You're in Tigerton. You have to do that.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. All right. Brittany, thank you so much. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, Brittany.
Let's find out from Melissa now what's happening on Wisconsin Rapids Radio out there, because again, it was all about Pigeon Quest, you know, before the news break. What you guys working at the stations at up there?
Oh, we got a couple live remotes coming up this weekend. We're excited about Beth and Seth are going to be at Dairy Fest in Marshfield, and they will be broadcasting live on, I believe, on our WIRI station. And then we're also doing a live broadcast at Rapids Transmission in Wisconsin Rapids. Ashley and I will be there. It's the grand reopening of another thing coming full circle, because it was a family-owned business way back when called Rapids Transmission. Then it was R&R Transmission. Now they're changing it back to Rapids Transmission with the nephew and his wife of the original owners reopening it again.
Okay. Yeah. And Dairy Fest. Tell folks about that in Marshfield. That's a big deal.
You know, I believe there's going to be lots of pancakes.
Yes, it is a huge breakfast.
But honestly, beyond that, I don't know a ton about it because I wasn't assigned to it.
Okay.
But you know, you can't go wrong with a dairy breakfast.
Need to do one of those.
Yes, you absolutely do. They have the best like sausages, especially around here where they make them. you'll get some just, I had some last year in Pittsville that were, they had like cranberries in it. They had blueberries. They were so good.
Here we go. Thanks to the folks at Channel 7 in Wausau. Beginning Friday in Marshfield, Dairy Fest begins on May 30th at 5 a.m. with the annual Mayor's Breakfast. More than 200 volunteers will serve up more than 1,200 pancakes, 450 pounds of eggs, and 24 gallons of maple syrup. The events will continue into Saturday, attracting thousands to the fairgrounds. This year, the Marshfield Chamber has partnered with the Ronald McDonald House to bring back the Cheese Chase. Well, now I got to know more about
this.
Is
that like the one they do overseas where they throw a wheel of cheese down the hill
and you people run after it?
I don't think the kid one is quite like that, but
and there's not a lot of hills in Marshfield.
Yeah. There is the picnic in the park Friday at Columbia Park from 5 to 8 p.m. There's a craft show Saturday, a downtown parade Saturday at 11 a.m. Starts at 2nd Street and goes south on Central Avenue. There's a family fun day on Saturday and a softball tournament and more.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal.
More than
Beth
I can
and Seth will
here.
Be at the Mayor's Breakfast on Friday, but then they're live broadcasting on Saturday.
Okay. I feel like I hit every dairy breakfast, you know, at some point or another, either as a state senator or a candidate for Congress. And people are, everybody's happy to get out of the house. Mm-hmm. Somebody else is cooking them breakfast. There's these other things for the kids to do. So, yeah.
And at the Rapids Transmission, if you're in Rapids and you want to come to that, there's going to be free tacos and ice cream and face painting.
Free tacos?
Free tacos? Where is this happening?
I'm sorry, where?
From 11 to 1.
Where is
11
the free
to 2
tacos? Where?
At Rapids Transmission on Rapids. 8th Street South.
That's right. By Kenosha, right? That's right by Kenosha? Right.
No, dear. You'd need to drive.
Yeah, you gotta come on. But it's free tacos.
Why are there never free tacos by me?
Okay. Shiju writes, now, if only I could get some decent black pudding with these breakfasts, I'd be showing up in a heartbeat. What? What?
You'd have to make it for us.
Yeah, I don't really think that.
Yeah. Watch as a radio show Googles live.
Oh, I know. You don't know what black pudding is?
Oh,
no.
Yeah. It's not.
It's not sweet.
It's not sweet. It's a sausage.
It's a kind of sausage made from pig's blood, pork fat, or beef suet, and cereal, usually oatmeal or barley, and various spices.
Yes.
It's like Raptor was saying, like, Europe. Oh, you want some head cheese? Oh, what's that kind of cheese? Walk away.
Braunschweiger.
I'm out.
Walk away.
Yeah.
Do you know what head cheese is, Parker?
I don't.
You don't know what head cheese is?
Okay. It's Google it, and then I'll see if you have an appetite for the next 4 to 10 hours.
Meanwhile, talking about the Stanley Tucci series, the new one on Nat Geo and Hulu and Disney, where he's going all through Italy, the first two shows focus primarily on tripe and making Italian dishes with tripe.
You can get that here in Wisconsin Rapids.
There's some of us who are like, what's that? And had to look and realize that now this particular delicacy is made by the fourth stomach of a cow, whereas this delicacy is made from the second stomach of a cow because it's got more of a honeycomb, you know, thing going for it, or heart and tongue, or all these other things. Every part gets used.
I had some tripe in a pho soup up in Duluth. It was really good. I'm surprised.
I asked Parker to Google head cheese because I wanted to see his look on his face. Parker, tell the world what head cheese is.
I was physically affected by that image.
It was very visceral for Parker.
Oh,
it's a meat jelly dish made from the flesh and gelatinous parts of an animal's head, typically a pig's head, but sometimes a calf or a cow. It's not actually cheese, but rather a meat terrine or aspic. With a aspic. Smooth and creamy texture and a savory pork flavor.
I don't believe this.
It's on the internet, so it must be true.
Yes.
No, aspic has a very interesting history there.
There's a bunch
or it's
of
also known as tripe, also known as offal. And Shiju gets back on and says, "Don't waste good offal."
Oh my god!
I think it's awful.
Exactly. I do too, but if that's how it's pronounced,
well done.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. I'll be here till 9, maybe waiting for the phone to ring. It was great to catch up, Melissa. I feel like once again, we've really undersold everything in Wisconsin Rapids just so we could have some fun with you. But thanks for letting us have some fun with you.
Oh, it's always great fun with you guys.
All right. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Still ahead, we'll be talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, Earl Ingram, Heather Dubois-Bornon, and Robert Craig. All ahead as part of our mornings here live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this a place to spend part of your Wednesday. He has a double check. Yep, Wednesday. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though. Because
probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And welcome back. You are listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. I am Chad Holmes, and it's time to talk about what's going on here in North Central Wisconsin. And as you have heard, if you've been tuned into our program over the last number of weeks, we get continuous updates from our in-studio engineer, Ian Welsh, about what's going on with the Wausau Community Theater and Anastasia. Yep,
that's
Anastasia
right.
Is finally almost here. We've been talking about it for a couple of months, and now you're ready to roll this weekend. It actually opens up on Friday is opening night. Have performances this weekend, and we'll get the specifics coming up, and also again next weekend. So two big weekends at the UW Center for Civic Engagement, the James F. Venega Theater. And to talk about it, in addition to Ian, who's had plenty to talk about over the last number of weeks, we're very happy to welcome the director, Brenton Canese, who we've had previously. Brenton, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
But you've also brought a couple of your cast members as well, Asher Harder and Bree Leiter. And Asher and Bree, thank you both for coming in as well.
Yeah, thanks for having us here.
I guess we'll start off with you, Brenton. I obviously, you've had a lot of experience in terms of directing and being parts of different shows. What was it about this one that kind of attracted you, that you wanted to be part of and direct this show?
Well, when I initially heard that they were doing it, I wasn't interested initially. But I...
Did you say that originally?
I did.
Oh, really?
I did tell them originally.
That's not a great way to go into an interview, I'll tell you that.
Well, but then I... To be fair, I never took an opportunity to really listen to the music.
Sure.
And I did. And after that, I was like, wait, never mind. I do want to do this. And then, you know, months later, I applied and I ended up getting the show. To me, this show is one of the most special I've ever directed. Mm-hmm. It's has such a beautiful story, and it's not your typical fairy tale. And I think that's what really drew me in. You know, it's not your typical Disney fairy tale where the princess needs to be saved, right? She's there to create her own story. And I think that's such empowering, especially during the times we're in now, that she can defy her future and it's not reliant on her past. So being able to forge a home that's not defined by a location, but by the people you surround yourself with, that's what really drew me to the musical. And it's such a beautiful score. There's a lot of dramatic moments. There's some lighthearted moments. But there are just so many great moments that the whole family will enjoy. Mm.
Let's talk to your cast members. Let's talk to Bree first. And Bree, what role do you play in the show?
I'm Anya in the St. Petersburg cast. Anya is the princess that Brenton has been talking about. Princess, so-called princess. She's not really a princess. But, yeah.
Talk a little bit about that role. What's maybe what attracted you to the role, and maybe what's the challenges of playing that role?
It's been a super, super dream role for me for a while now. I love the show. The music is so good, like Brenton already said. But I love Anya specifically because she is so spunky and she holds her ground herself. She doesn't let anyone tell her what to do. And I connect with her a lot. I resonate with that a lot. Some challenges is probably finding those the loving moments of her, even though she is so defiant in what society tells her to be or whatever anyone else tells her to do. Like finding those moments where she is vulnerable and falling into other people to help, and the moments where she is defiant. So since those are two very different extremes.
And Asher, what about you? What role are you playing, or roles? Because I know with Ian, there's multiple roles that be part of this production as well. What's your part in this?
Right, yeah. So I am playing Dimitri in the St. Petersburg cast. And Dimitri is this very interesting fellow. He's this Russian street rat. He's also known as the Prince of Petersburg. He's this con man who does anything to get ahead. So he's the most common, like he'd steal to make a living if he absolutely had to. He would like barter with other things that he's stolen, like anything to stay alive, really, because it shows. You'll notice in this show that it portrays a lot of the difficulties that the people in Russia had after the overthrow of the Tsar government, and it went to translate it over to communism. And I really enjoy this role because he's really this con man that becomes a more like fully fleshed out and emotionally intelligent person as it goes on, and he starts to learn things about Anya, he starts to learn things about several of the other characters, and he kind of changes his ways as the show goes on.
And for Asher and Bree, how experienced are you in the world of theater? When did you first get involved in productions? How old were you? And I guess also, how old are you right now? At what level of your schooling are you?
Yeah, we're both 20, but we're freshman musical theater BFA majors at UWSP.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I have been in theater since I was fourth grade, so 9. And yeah, I've loved it ever since.
And Asher, what about you? When did you first get involved?
So my first ever show, I was an ensemble member in Mamma Mia, and I was actually a sophomore in high school. So it took me a bit to discover theater, but once I did, I was like, wow, this is very special.
And we will have more with the director and cast members of Anastasia, Asher Harder, Bree Leiter, and Brenton Canese coming up in just over 20 minutes when we return at 7:52. But coming up next, it's an information update, and then back to Pat Kreitlow. More of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO.
Radio, WXCO. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Federal funding cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. It threatens not only families, but also farmers. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. One of the farms waiting for final answer is Flagg Family Farm in Rudolph. Carl Flagg is the operator, and he says not only do families depend on SNAP for some additional dollars to spend towards their meals, farmers depend on SNAP to keep clients coming their way.
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, it's put thousands and thousands of dollars into the farmers markets here in Dane County and back home in Wausau and Stevens Point. So, yeah, it's a very important program. I just spent 3 days in Washington, D.C., campaigning with Farmers Union. It's very important what we stress to the politicians is that in the Farm Bill, we need a strong nutrition program.
Carl Flagler from Flagler Family Farm in Rudolph says it's not just about the SNAP dollars helping families to fulfill their meal goals. It's also about making sure those families can afford some of the beneficial food that farmers like him bring to a farmer's market. He says that's something they might not otherwise be able to afford.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Gold Light provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of the current offers on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eye on a new Can-Am ATV or side-by-side, now's the time to get yours. Visit your local Can-Am dealer today and add a true game changer to your roster. Conditions apply. See dealer for details.
And so far, weather's been cooperating pretty well with Wisconsin farmers. The latest update shows across the state, 85% of the corn's already in the ground, and about 52% of that corn has already emerged. Corn rating from farmers, about 62% called good to excellent. 80% of our soybeans have been planted. Right now, that crop, about 42% emerged. 88% of our potato planting is already complete, and it looks like first cutting of alfalfa, about 20% done as of Sunday. That's just a quick snapshot on food news for Wednesday. More at MidwestFarmReport.com. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be cloudy with scattered showers, maybe an isolated thunder shower this afternoon. Our high today in the upper 60s to low 70s with wind out of the east at 5 to 15. Tonight will drop to 50. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, warmer, 74 by Friday. Mostly sunny with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had 4 meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top 3 things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll take another look at changes to SNAP benefits. We'll wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back, live from Chippewa Falls on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you were to go to the Capitol right now, you would see that hundreds of bills have been introduced in the Wisconsin legislature so far this session, from Assembly Bill 1 to, at last check, Assembly Bill 273. And over in the other chamber, you can go all the way up to Senate Bill 280. But one bill is missing from all those, Senate Bill 1. Republicans reserved Senate Bill 1 for their version of a state budget and tax plan, but it is still missing in action nearly 5 months into the session. So what is it Republicans actually want to do? When are we going to see what they propose? And what will Governor Tony Evers do with it once it comes to him? Now, in the past, he has used his line item veto, his partial veto powers, repeatedly to try to mold and shape the bill. But is that good enough? Or does he have to consider vetoing the whole bill and making the legislature start over? And if so, what are the pros and cons of that? A coalition of groups was in the Capitol yesterday talking about the things that really need to be in the state budget in terms of schools and healthcare and families and, you know, what those standards should be. And we are very happy to have two friends of the program here to talk more about it. Robert Craig from Citizen Action of Wisconsin, Heather Dubois-Bornon from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Robert and Heather, good morning. Thanks for being here. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Doing great. Thanks, Pat. Nice to see you.
Yeah. Heather, I saw a Facebook post. You guys had a very busy day around the Capitol, and you said you carried around a particular visual aid the whole day to try to make your point about what needs to be in the budget or where previous budgets have failed and what people want to see in this budget. So what was your core message to lawmakers yesterday?
Well, first of all, Pat, we were thrilled that over 200 people were able to join us on the day after a holiday weekend to share their concerns about the state budget with lawmakers and to call on the governor to put his name on a better budget this time around. And I carried this poster with me to remind folks that we have been to every single one of the budget hearings taking notes. And if you look at what things people cared about the most, what's best for kids tops that chart. Public education, K through college, childcare, higher ed, Medicaid expansion, and holding the line on prisons and criminal justice reform were the lion's share of the testimony. Over half of the people who spoke on one of those three subject areas. And so the people who were at the Capitol today were a critical mass, but they didn't speak for themselves. They represent the majority of concerns that were heard around the state at every single one of those budget hearings. And those are the concerns that the members of the Joint Finance Committee on the Republican side disregarded when they threw the governor's budget proposal away and went back to base. And so our concern is that the people were not heard when they raise their voices in these democratic processes. And we want to call on all of our lawmakers and the governor to listen this time around and to pass a budget that actually meets the needs of our kids and our communities and stop playing political games with the money that we trust the state to use effectively and according to our needs.
That is it's a very telling pie chart that you were showing me with, again, the topics that were brought up most in the Joint Finance Committee hearings. And Robert, as somebody who's been active on the healthcare part of it, especially expanding Badger Care through Citizen Action, I'm sure that pie chart didn't surprise you either, even if it still seems to be a surprise to some of the lawmakers.
Well, I don't know if it's a surprise, but they entirely ignored it, Pat. So they've turned these budget hearings, which are supposed to be the legislature actually hearing from people who have take the time to go and speak to them about the budget, into just a sham where they pretend to listen and then they do what they're going to do, which is, this is an example of the decay of our democracy. And so Heather showed with that chart just where the public is that actually came to Joint Finance Committee and testified. It's overwhelming that the top issues are education funding, healthcare, especially expanding Badger Care, which is a huge common sense step we can still take. And that's not going to be, that opportunity is not being eliminated at the federal level. They took that off the table. and common sense criminal justice reform. And so since the legislature, Pat, is ignoring the people in the hearings, we brought the people to the Capitol. And this is extraordinary, Pat. You've been doing this a long time. I've never seen such a list of groups, and it was Citizens Action Wisconsin, Wisconsin Education, Education Network, Wisdom, WEAC, which is a major power in Democratic politics, and its major urban affiliates, AFT Wisconsin, number of others, and the child care advocates, who really got a lot of attention this cycle, coming in. I've never seen a group of groups like this come and ask a Democrat governor to change his tactics. You see, in the last three budgets, he's essentially, with some line item vetoes, signed the Republican budget in a situation where we have divided rule, in a situation where only one person was elected by the whole people, and that is Governor Evers. Since they, Pat, use every ounce of their power they can, a lot of illegitimate use, like not confirming the governor's appointments on a regular basis as a strategy, just for one example, the governor needs to use all of his legitimate power, and that is his veto power. And that is to make it clear, set a bottom line, say that this is my bottom line, include badger care expansion and sufficient funding for public schools, child care, and common sense criminal justice reform does not build any more prisons. And say, I will not sign a budget that doesn't do that, that he has to do that. Otherwise, he's allowing them to get a Republican budget where this should be a compromise pact. So that's where we are. And as organizers, this is about power. So we're saying we'll be with the governor and stand behind him, all these people, Pat, but the governor needs to lead.
So if the governor were to threaten to or actually veto the whole bill, there are a couple of different ways you could go. Robert, I'll start with you and then Heather. And there is this notion that if the governor were to veto the whole thing, Republicans would just say, oh, yeah, well, then we just won't pass a budget at all. Everything will continue at the same level. It's not like government shuts down and there won't be any improvements in anything either. So is that the tactic that would keep Governor Evers and others from vetoing a bill in its entirety? And what's your answer to that potential?
It's very similar to what Chuck Schumer said when he crossed most other Democrats and voted for a Republican bill to keep the government open, which also put in place a whole lot of the changes Doge and Trump are illegitimately and illegally making. What we've seen from the Democrat grassroots, which is everyone is for democracy, not just Democrats, is that they expect leaders now to fight and to use all their leverage. And so I think it's a sign of weakness to say, oh, I couldn't veto the budget because it could put in place a worse budget. It has to be used as leverage to force a negotiation and to force public attention on these popular issues that the legislature is against and is trying to block, because then they face much more consequences at the ballot box, the only real Democratic accountability. The other thing, Pat, is, what I heard at the Capitol yesterday, they're talking about putting most of their budget in separate appropriations bills with no line item veto and putting forward only a base budget so they can avoid the governor's line item veto powers in a budget. So we're in a situation where they're playing hardball anyway and are acting against all previous norms. The governor has got to be willing to stand and fight. But part of this, Pat, is if he lays this bottom line, the public will know who is blocking fair funding for public schools, who is blocking healthcare for 90,000 more people and more, getting more money for doing that, child care, which everyone needs and wants to. And so I think that that's the only thing that can work in a democracy, that signing a Republican budget and then declaring it some kind of victory actually harms the public understanding of what is really going on.
Heather, I feel like the sentiment for this really increased after this last go-round where the governor agreed to an increase in local aid and in funding for local schools, public schools, but the amount of money that went to the voucher program was immense and to some people didn't look like a compromise at all, and really has led to this notion of, you know, better to veto a bad budget than to try to fix it with partial vetoes. What are your thoughts on that, Heather?
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay.
It's getting ready for school time here. Sorry for the background noise.
That's all right.
Yeah, you're totally right, Pat. People were really confused by the budget deal that the governor worked out last time, because while he did arrange a deal that exchanged a much needed increase to the low revenue limit ceiling, he did so In return for what turned out to be the largest expansion to privatization programs that we've ever seen in one swoop. And so this massive increase to vouchers and independent charters was not matched by a massive increase to public school funding. We saw a little lift to the low revenue limit ceiling, which, though welcome, did not even get our low spending districts up to the state average. And we saw a budget ultimately passed that didn't even provide an inflationary increase to our public schools. In fact, about 40% of school districts received less state aid in the first year of that biennial budget than they had the previous year anyway. And so that's why we have seen a record number of districts have to go to referenda in the course of the past 2 years. 419 questions, I believe, is the final count. Keep in mind that we have 421 total districts. We've had districts that have had to go again and again to voters to ask to raise taxes on themselves because the state is not paying its share. And it's just an unsustainable cycle. And this cycle of going back to base, fighting for crumbs, not getting enough, going back to base, fighting for crumbs, not getting enough, just has to stop. That cycle is not going to stop itself. And as Robert said, now we're hearing about this other layer of political games playing on top of it. And we were just headed to the Capitol yesterday to say enough. Enough is enough. Do your job. Your job is to make sure that our public schools have the resources they need so that every kid's needs can be met. And you are not meeting that obligation right now. Do better.
On YouTube, Tony writes, I saw so many photos on Facebook from the Capitol yesterday. It was amazing. And I mentioned seeing, you know, Heather in photos along with some of the folks there. Robert, you mentioned all the people that were there as well, that this really has much more of a grassroots feel than, you know, so much of the AstroTurf stuff we saw from, you know, back in the days of, you know, the Tea Party and things like that. Between that and the pie chart, Robert, I mean, you completely feel the public sentiment shifting, and with fairer maps, non-gerrymandered maps, you've got to feel better about taking this kind of a message into the 2026 election cycle, not meaning to get ahead of myself.
I hope we can get a budget, right, Pat? So if the Republicans do the right thing, then they are in a better stance in the 2026 elections. But if they're going to do what they did before, we at least want to make it crystal clear that they did it and exactly what they did so they can be held accountable. That's the only way democracy works. Softening the edges doesn't work, Pat. But what our hope is that the governor will create a very difficult environment for them politically that will actually make them do the right thing and find common ground with Governor Evers on these issues, because as Heather says, we cannot continue this cycle over and over again. And in fact, Pat, with what the House did, the House of Representatives and their tax on Medicaid, they left the extra money for Medicaid expansion, but it sunsets the full amount, getting 95% of cover of it paid for by the federal government for 2 years, sunsets on January 1st, 2026. This is the last budget we can get the full Medicaid expansion amount. But education, school districts are at the breaking point with the referendums. Heather talks about this all the time.
Without a doubt. Head to the comment sections on Facebook and YouTube to see the links that they provided us where you can sign your name to a letter of support. Robert Craig from Citizen Action, Heather Dubois-Bornon from Wisconsin Public Education Network. Thanks so much, you guys. Appreciate all that you're doing. Earl Ingram,
thanks
coming
for having
up.
Us.
You bet. Earl Ingram coming up in our next hour, along with Dan Schaefer on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing? Dollar driver. Right, it takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or ticket.
and let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing.
I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
And welcome back. It's Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, 55 degrees here in downtown Wausau. I am Chad Holmes. Time for our local segments to talk about what's happening here in north central Wisconsin. And this morning we're talking about Anastasia from the Wausau Community Theater. It is opening at the Venega Theater at UWSP at Wausau on Friday. Shows Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this week, and then back again next week. We are talking to cast members Asher Harder and Bree Leiter, and also Director Brenton Canise. Again, we're talking about Anastasia, which is coming to the Wausau Community Theater starting this Friday evening, opening night. Then the production continues throughout the weekend and then next week as well, again at the James F. Venega Theater at the UW Center for Civic Engagement. I asked about challenges. And Brenton, what about for you? What's been the biggest challenge for you as the director of staging this production?
I think the challenge for me is creating the world that the show is set in. It's part political thriller, part adventure, part love story, but being able to have a cohesive ensemble bring St. Petersburg to life and during the transition of communism is huge. Being able to show that the change in government shifted the dynamics of the people in the city, and being able to then transition to the 1920s in Paris, right? Mm-hmm. There's a complete shift there. So working with my team to making sure that, you know, down from the color palette that we want it bright here, darker colors here, just to show that the overall world of the show is translated on stage accurately. So to me, that was a challenge of being able to work with the amount of people we have. We have 43 people in the cast. We had a little over 80 auditions, so a lot of people on stage, but they're all there to serve a purpose, and that's to create the world that Anya and the trio are in.
Let me ask you, because you mentioned the fact that 43 sounds like, man, how are you going to fill that cast? And then you say 80 audition. What does that say about the importance of local theater in our communities, that you have so many people that were so interested in being part of the show, in fact, they had to turn some away? Yeah. I mean, that's quite a statement, isn't it?
Yes. I think part of it is the show itself. It is widely popular in the theater community. But I also think that people want to try new things. We have a lot of new people in this show, a lot of people who are new to WCT, like Brian Asher and many others in the cast. And then we have some veterans as well. And I think they want to have a shared experience that you can't find anywhere else. I always like to say theater is the only, community theater is the only place where you can have, you know, with Brian Asher, BFA musical theater students, working with a dental hygienist, mm-hmm. and working with someone working in the nonprofit sector. You know, you can't find it anywhere else but community theater. And they're all equally talented in their own ways. And being able to see those two casts come together, which was another challenge, as we have two different casts, but they each bring their own sense of character to the show, even though their different interpretations, both of them are accurate to the story that's being told.
Let me bring Ian for a moment. Obviously, we talk about veterans of the area community theater. That's our Ian Welsh. What has jumped out to you in this process, Ian? Is there anything in particular that kind of stood out for this show because you've been part of so many?
I think what jumped out for me is the... I mean, I love the opportunity to play multiple parts because then I get a chance to perform a variety of different characters, and it's just the different characters I get to play, and also working with a lot of new people with the WCT as well, as really, you know, improve my social skills and get a chance to, you know, really branch out as an actor. And just this show has definitely been a challenge, but the challenges are always fun in the end. And then you learn something, and you also get to, you know, better yourself as a performer too.
And Asher and Bree, what should the audience expect? And you said it. I mean, I think you've all said that this is a show that has, you know, a great reputation, and a lot of people know about it. But maybe for those folks that don't know about it, what do you think? You know, obviously you got your roles and your perspective on stage, but what do you think that audiences should take away from this show? And maybe even specifically within the people that you play within this show as well. So, what is the biggest, I guess, draw for the folks that are come to the Vanegas Theater this weekend?
Well, I would say one thing that folks can expect to see when they come to the show is this is an incredibly emotional story. There's so many ups and downs, and I think that it's really good because it like replicates life. You know, you're living through life. People in every aspect of life are going to see themselves in some of these characters. You know, you have these people who don't know where they came from, and you see these characters who came out of nothing, and they're still writing their own stories within anything that they can do to lift themselves up. So I think the audience can really expect to see lots of real life accurate scenarios. And I think that's really refreshing to see on stage for a lot of people. It's obviously dramatized, but it has a very successful way of bringing out a level of relatability to the average watcher. And I think it's beautiful.
And Bree, what about you?
I would speak about just like theater in general, mm-hmm. Because seeing live theater for me specific, I guess, just I guess I don't know about other people, but seeing live theater just shows, no matter what the story is, the community is there. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, everyone is standing and applauding, and everyone is happy. No one, even if the story's sad, like everyone leaves with an uplifting emotion, and it's just super community based. And I think that's beautiful. So that's what I always take out of live theater performances, is just your sense of community and how important it is, and how the arts can trigger that.
And we'll have a few more minutes with Asher Harder, Bree Leiter, and Brenton Canese coming up in just a few minutes at 8:22. With Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Hall.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief, an uncrewed SpaceX mega Starship rocket that blasted off from Texas came apart over the Indian Ocean. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood.
They had a propellant leak that put the craft in a slow spin. Flight controllers could not control it. That ruled out a controlled descent to splashdown, which means it inevitably was going to break up in the atmosphere.
Patience over the Ukraine war is wearing thin among lawmakers on Capitol Hill. CBS's Natalie Brand.
There's a bipartisan bill introduced in the Senate by Senators Lindsey Graham and also Richard Blumenthal that would impose maximum sanctions on Russia if Russia does not come to the negotiating table.
Looking for the best car for your teenage driver? U.S. News and World Report's out with a new list.
The Kia Soul, Hyundai Tucson, and Elantra, Honda Civic, Subaru Forester, and Toyota Corolla and Camry all making the cut.
That's WWJ's Jeff Gilbert, CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.